probably. But I'm also going to try and deepen or go into a little deeper what some of the things that you said the last time as well,
Okay.
and also focus in on the community
Okay.
a little bit more.
Now you remember, like I say, I didn't live in that community,
Right.
but out every
But you probably
very whole
have
time
remembrances of
I have
being
some
in
remembrance
of
of
being in the community.
yeah,
So,
yes.
and I've tried to do the questions around that. I knew that you lived in Cherry, right?
No, I live in Billerville.
In Belleville.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So if you're ready to get started, we'll do that. I'm going to do just a brief introduction, and then I'll ask you to introduce yourself again,
Okay.
so that we have all that on tape. All right. Today is March 26, 2004, and this is an interview with Mr. Walter Kennedy. This interview is conducted in conjunction with the oral history class of the University of North Carolina at Charlotte, under the direction of Dr. Karen Flint. My name is Brian Alexander, and I am acting as mediator today at Friendship Baptist Church for said interview. First, Mr. Kennedy, will you please introduce yourself and tell me where you were born, where you grew up, and any general information about yourself that you want to give us?
Well, I am Walter Kennedy. Nickname is Buck. Everybody know me by Buck. I grew up in Fairview Homes. That's where I was grown. And after I left Fairview Homes, we moved up to the west side, which was Northwest. That's where I went to school, at Northwest Junior High School. And from Northwest, we came up to West Charlotte, and we moved into University Park. And from then on, I'm still on the west side of town.
Okay. What are your fondest and earliest memories of Brooklyn?
I remember when I was a young boy over at Friendship Missionary Baptist Church, the uniqueness of the church that we had, that everybody was so close to each other. And if someone was sick or something like that, there was always someone there to help them out. And as a young boy coming up, we had all these programs to keep us out of trouble. And Boy Scouts, we always go to what we call the BTU. The BTU is a Baptist Training Union. And we go to church in the morning, and we would stay there all day until that night service. I remember that very fondly, especially when we had to go in somewhere to eat, and the lady used to bring food to the church so we can eat. And sometimes we would go down the street to a lady house named Miss Liggin, Miss Daisy Liggin. We would go to her house and have dinner with her daughter and sons. They would invite us down. So that was some of the memories I had of Brooklyn over there.
Since you didn't live in Brooklyn, and you said some of these things, tell me what sort of things that you did in Brooklyn, where you went, and what you did, maybe other than the church.
Oh, went to the movie theater, went to the Lincoln Theater. I remember going there with my cousin. He lived in Third Ward, and we would go to the Lincoln Theater and just go out there and stand on the street and watch people. It was amazing to see so many people in that area like that.
Okay. Did you have relatives or friends that lived in Brooklyn?
No, I didn't have any.
Didn't have any relatives or friends. Tell me about some of the African American businesses in Brooklyn that you remember, and whether you used these. I'm not familiar with how close the area that you lived in is to Brooklyn, so. Tell me if you used those, or if you used if you went shopping or things like that outside of Brooklyn.
Yes, well, over in Brooklyn, you had a lot of the doctor's office,
Okay.
the funeral homes. Alexander Funeral Home was in particular that we always used, my family, and we still do. And they had restaurants and drugstores over there on Second Street, and all kind of little places along there. People that own their own barber shops. Stuff like that. I remember all of that. Yes.
And were these businesses, were they owned by African Americans, or were they owned by whites?
No, they was
And
owned by African
they were
Americans.
owned by
Yes,
African
yes.
Americans. Were there any white-owned businesses in Brooklyn during the time? Do you know?
I can't remember, but I think it was a couple, but I can't remember who what.
Okay. Well, you said you did not go to school in
No,
Brooklyn,
no.
right? What kind of occupation did you have when you, during this time period? Because you were, I know you were young.
Yeah, I was young. Well,
when you were going.
Only thing I did was carrying papers during that time because I was living on the, I was in Belleville area.
Okay.
And in the Fabio Homes.
Okay.
So I, that's the only occupation that I was, you know.
Okay. What sort of impressions do you have about the people that were in Brooklyn as far as the things that they did as occupations or where they worked? Did they work in the community or did they work outside the community?
Well, you had a lot that worked outside the community, over into the Myers Park area, doing housework and stuff like that. But you had a lot of blacks in Brooklyn that owned their own business.
Okay.
And so they were very proud. And I was, you know, that was something to see, mm-hmm. the black man own his own business like that, you know, by me being young, because when we was coming up, we didn't see that. But after I go through Brooklyn and Belleville and stuff like that, you will see all of that.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So it was basically only in those communities that you were seeing
that's
black owned business?
Yeah, because that's the only place I could go.
Yeah. I know you attended Friendship Baptist Church while it was located in Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. Do you remember why you and your family chose, especially since you didn't live in that, in Brooklyn
that
itself, why you chose this particular church to go to?
Well, like I said, we used to live in First Ward with my mother and her brother, and we used to go to Little Rock. After we left there, we moved to Fabio Homes, and so we met this couple living in the back house, Miss Tatum, and they would say, why don't y'all come and go to church with us? And so he had a car, that's the only way we can get.
Okay.
And he was a deacon at the church, Deacon Elvin Tatum. And so Deacon Tatum would take us to church in the morning. And so we started going there, my mother started going, and we listened to Reverend Carey on the radio.
Okay.
And we always thought he was an old man, but until we found out he wasn't an old man, his voice was just like that. And so that's how we started going to Friendship. We just fell in love with it. Everybody treated us so nice.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So you heard Reverend Carey on the radio?
On the radio.
Was this the WGIV?
WGIV at that time, and every Sunday morning it was broadcast live from the church.
Every Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell me a little bit more about WGIV? Because you were involved in that, right? At some point with singing. Is that right? Where you would... it seems like I recall you saying in the first interview where you and Sister McGill... would sing it to
yeah.
the telephone, is that correct?
I wasn't singing on the choir during that time.
Okay.
But that's where they recorded over the telephone from the church to the station.
Oh really?
Yes, that's how they record.
Huh. Okay.
But my mother used to sing on the choir.
Did she?
Yeah. They had the choir there, the senior choir.
Uh-huh.
And that was the broadcast choir, the first broadcast choir from Friendship.
Okay, all right. Can you describe the nature of the area where the church building stood and tell about the businesses that may have been around it or the neighbors that may have been around it and how you interacted with those or the church interacted with those?
Well, right there on the corner of First and Bavard, I remember across the street was a produce company
uh-huh.
and a concrete company. But on First there, right around the corner from Bavard, it was residence, and of course you had a couple buildings that had doctor's office in it.
Okay.
And on the corner was a place called Bishop Dale. He had a little sandwich shop and gas station place there
yeah.
where we would take our money from church and go over there and spend it.
Uh-huh.
But he wouldn't let us spend it all. He said, be sure and put something in the plate.
Right.
But it was a neighborhood area where the church was located at.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
How did Friendship Baptist Church interact with the Brooklyn community? How did you see, did the church reach out to the community? And if so, how do you remember that happening?
By me being so young,
yeah.
that didn't even play a part in me thinking about that.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So during that time, I was only 11 years old
uh-huh.
when I, but after I got up some size,
okay.
you could see things like different things, how the community and the church work hand in hand with each other.
Really?
And they helped each other out like that.
Okay. Now, when the church moved to Northwest Junior High School,
uh-huh.
and then it moved over here to uh-huh. Beatty's Ford Road, Why did your family decide to stay with the church? Was there any exodus at all from the church during that time, or did everybody just decide that they were going to follow the church wherever it went?
I think everybody decided to go where the church goes, because where else could you go? There's nowhere, because they're tearing up everything out in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Urban Renewal is moving everything out. And so why go somewhere else? There's nowhere else to go. So everybody stayed with Friendship, and of course it grew.
Mm-hmm.
Church grew as it got moved out from there where we was at.
Now, you say that it grew, and it seems like you had said that about that time and during the first interview that there were about 400 to 500 members, and then it just grew enormously as it went to the junior high school and then here.
Yes, yes.
Do you know where the people were coming from? I mean, where were these people coming from that were coming in?
Yeah, most of them was coming from this side of town.
Okay.
Because they had the most population. Other church was from this area.
Uh-huh.
And then that's where most of them came from.
Okay. Now, you've mentioned the Boy Scouts and you mentioned the BTU.
Uh-huh.
Are there other groups within the church that were important to you, and can you tell me why they were important?
Well, the other groups of missionaries, which in that was the latest auxiliary.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, we had the junior choir.
Uh-huh.
That was very important to us, and we was...
Were you a member of the junior
choir? I was a member of the junior choir.
Okay.
And, then we had junior deacons.
Uh-huh.
And I was a junior deacon at the church.
Can you tell me about what the junior deacons did?
Well, the junior deacon was just like being a regular deacon, but you was on the four Sundays. That's the time that you had the opportunity to say the prayer,
uh-huh.
Or whatever you had to do that morning that the big deacons did. And, you know, it was Children's Sunday.
It was Children's Sunday.
So we were junior deacons.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So how old were you at that time when you were a junior deacon?
I must have been about 13 or 14.
13 or 14.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And did you, as a junior deacon, did you go out to other churches and do things, or was this just
No, this was just in church.
Just
in church for the junior deacons, yes.
Okay.
Just for in church.
Okay. You've mentioned the Boy Scouts. Can you tell me what kind of activities that the Boy Scouts, that you participated in with the Boy Scouts, and was there any community activity during that time with the Boy Scouts?
The only thing I remember about the Boy Scouts, we have our meetings that we were have an opportunity to tie our knots and listen to stories and stuff like this here, and
right.
just a general fun time with the other young men and the Boy Scouts that was there.
Yeah.
But we didn't go out camping or nothing like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you know, I mean, that's a big staple of Boy Scouts today. Do you
yes.
know why that didn't happen during that time? Or
well,
was it just different?
It's just different during that time, and I don't think I don't know for sure, but I just don't think that you didn't have the money
uh-huh.
To go out and do those things.
Right.
It wasn't together like it is now
mm-hmm.
during that time.
Yeah. Okay. Do you have any funny stories that you can think of, or any one particular event that may have happened while you're in Boy Scouts that you can remember that?
I can't remember that. The only time I couldn't tie them knots.
All right. Now, we had been doing some research and found out that some Boy Scout troops were, during Urban Renewal, were actually out and doing demolition in some of the Urban Renewal areas. Do you ever remember, I know your Boy Scout troop mm-hmm. probably didn't do that, mm-hmm. but did you ever hear about that or see that happen in Brooklyn?
I never did.
Hmm. Okay. When the church body learned that it had to leave Brooklyn
mm-hmm.
and the church would be torn down, what sorts of things did the church do in response?
After we found out that we had to leave from Brooklyn, we did a 30-day continuous service.
Okay.
And that's what the church did. And what we did was go back to the beginning of the church, and we did what we call a play, 30 days of continued service, and that's where we started out, like from the church from the beginning, and came all the way up to the present during that time.
Okay.
And was just praying and worshiping, doing this here, and
Can you tell me how you felt during that time, what the feelings were about that 30-day service and having to move?
Yes. Personally, it was very sad to me because I know we was being uprooted and we didn't have anywhere to go. And so that was, to me, was just a sad moment. But after you got into your 30 days and found out where you come from, then we had this idea of where we was going to go. Mm-hmm. And so things got better.
Okay. After the move, I think I've already covered this. Mm-hmm. Can you tell me why your church friendship was unlike other churches in Brooklyn community and was able to hold together and move together and actually continue to grow? Because other churches seem to splinter in the area.
Well, some of the church split and some didn't. Some church wasn't the largest friendship during that time, so that's, you know. But friendship was always a church that helped each other. And once, I don't know, I guess we were just committed to friendship because that's why my family felt. And we had a good leader. Mm-hmm. Coleman W. Carey, he was a good leader. And so, you know, why go somewhere else? Mm-hmm. When we know things gonna get better. And he was a visionary and he could vision what was going on. And we figured that he couldn't lead us astray because he was the man of God.
Okay. Now, my next question actually has to do with Reverend Carey.
Uh-huh.
What opinion did Reverend Carey hold on what was happening with urban renewal and the removal of the church? And do you think that his opinion affected the ways in which the congregation reacted to the move?
What you're saying is
what was he, during this time, what was he saying to the church about urban renewal and the destruction of Brooklyn? Do you think this was a positive move, or did he think it was a negative move? And how did that affect how people in the church reacted to that?
I think that we all know it was a negative move,
okay,
but we had to be positive with it because we know they was going to tear it down and there was nowhere else for us to go. So he talked positive about it, that we need to move forward.
Okay.
Let's not dwell on the past. Let's move forward to what we got.
Okay.
And so the deacons and trustees went out looking for land and stuff like this for us. And of course, Pastor Carey was right there in the forefront leading us.
Okay.
But yes, it was a negative move, but we had a positive outlook on life.
So you think that his leadership was part of what helped
us keep going
and keep the church together?
That's correct.
Okay. Now, we had mentioned in another interview that Friendship Baptist Church had the opportunity to buy land, or at least buy land in Brooklyn and possibly build another building. Do you remember anything about that, or why they decided not to buy land in Brooklyn?
I can't remember nothing like that because they're moving everything out of Brooklyn.
Okay. Okay. Looking back, what things do you miss about the old church in Brooklyn?
I got to miss something. I think I miss most about the old church in Brooklyn. Growing up in that church, uh-huh, and the older deacons, how I used to look up to them. And now I'm up in age, and I think some of the younger deacons look up to me. But I do really miss growing up in Friendship Missionary Baptist Church. It wasn't missionary then, it was just Friendship Baptist Church.
Do you know when that changed?
Yeah, it changed when we got up here,
uh-huh,
because we became a mission church.
And before, you did missions before that, right?
Yes, but it wasn't like we're doing now.
It was
more focused once you
moved here?
Yeah, got more focus.
Okay. And what aspects of the new church today, here, do you think are better or worse than the old church?
Let's see. Well, we have a lot more programs going on now in the new church than we did at Old Church. And now this church is a long time ago, we used to have all kind of little, what we call missionary groups, where Pastor A and this and that and that and this, and they'll sell food and stuff like this. We don't do that now.
Okay.
We are tithing church. And that's the main focus of this church, is tithing.
Why do you see that as so important,
because
as opposed to the other way?
Well, we was doing some people's tithing back in the other days, but now you're giving back a portion of what you earn to the Lord. And now we can see that it do work. Tithing do work.
Can you tell me about the things that you did before tithing? What sorts of things you did to raise money?
To raise money. There was sale, have fish fries and stuff like this here.
Uh-huh.
And then they would go and collect money, and sometimes big money for this and that. We don't do that anymore.
Uh-huh. Having lived in so many different other places,
mm-hmm.
In West Charlotte and Fairview Homes,
mm-hmm.
University Park, can you tell me what the response was from the communities that you lived in, that you can remember, either from your parents or neighbors or friends, to the demolition of another African American community like Brooklyn?
Yeah. Well, a lot of people are sad about it, and they had to be moved out. They was uprooted. They had businesses over there, and they was just uprooted. And then where can you go? They didn't know where to go, so they started moving out to these other areas. And so, and then your business, you couldn't buy no land or nothing like that to have a business, so your business just failed, and so you had to just become living like everybody else. You know?
Okay. So was there any fear that the same thing was going to happen to the areas that you lived in, do you know?
No, I don't think it was in the fear of that. I think they was trying to get down there so they can make a bigger downtown.
Uh-huh.
See, that's where downtown is, Brooklyn.
Right.
See.
But
one thing I was, well, I hate to say this, I was mad about, you cut this off. I crossed the left.
No problem. Despite its physical removal, do you think of Brooklyn as a community still? And can you describe what you think Brooklyn means to you today?
It's no Brooklyn.
No Brooklyn.
There's no Brooklyn now. I only have over there just the memories.
When you hear the term urban renewal, what does that mean to you?
Tearing down, moving you out.
And considering all that you know now, was the decision to revitalize the Brooklyn community in the way that it was done, was that a good decision or a bad decision? Why do you think that may be?
Well, I think it was a bad decision.
Okay.
Where they could have revitalized it, but they'd have to tear down everything, because a lot of black folks lost their business. Churches had to be uprooted. I think that was very wrong. And sometimes I think about it and I get a little emotional,
mm-hmm.
because so much stuff happened like that, and it didn't have to. It didn't have to.
What?
Because they could build the city around some of that historic stuff, you know. They could have included some of it. I'm not saying all of it, but they could include some of it.
Mm-hmm. So what do you think? Do you think that politicians today have taken any of that to heart? Because even though it's not called urban renewal maybe today, it's this sort of thing is still happening.
Yeah, they still annexing. What do I call it now? They still doing that.
And do you think that they've learned any lessons from the past, things like Brooklyn?
I don't know. I really don't. Because I just don't know if they learned anything or not. Because they're still doing things that they shouldn't be doing, but they politicians.
Mm-hmm. Do you know if your church had any dealings with the politicians during that time to try and save the church? Would you remember that, or would you know that?
Well, I know Pastor Carey was always talking to people trying to make a So we could stay there, mm-hmm. but things didn't work out. They was already had the mind made up that what they was going to do over there in Brooklyn.
Okay, all right. Can you tell me a little bit? We're trying to, in this oral history class, participating in an oral history class, mm-hmm. we're really interested in the interaction between interviewee and interviewer. Can you tell me if the fact that I'm male or white or that I'm a university student, mm-hmm. if that affects any of the answers that you may give to me?
No. No, none whatsoever. Okay. I want this to go out. You should hear it because this is history. Uh-huh. You should hear stuff like this and know where we come from and what's happening. Mm-hmm. There's no effect between you and I.
That's good to know. Well, that's all the questions that I have for you today.
That's right.
I really appreciate you taking the time to come out and
I appreciate you
with us today.
Appreciate you asking.
These are some great answers, and it really is
I hope it
important
can help you.
To.
I hope it can help you.
It's really important to record this history of that time period. Now I know you've filled out some of this information before. But the problem is that